The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
What's going on, everybody? This is Jimmy Kemsky of PhillyVoice.com. With me, as always, is Brandon Lee Gowton of BleedingGreenNation.com. We are here. I'm here. Brandon's there. After day two of Eagles training camp practices, both days were kind of short. About an hour and a half yesterday. About an hour 40, hour 45, something like that today. How are you doing, Brandon?
Jimmy, always glad to be back here with you. On this episode of BGN Radio 134, of course, brought to you by Righteous Felon Craft Jerky. And now you can get the same meat snacks that the Eagles do by going to RighteousFelon.com and using discount code BGN15 at checkout. Jimmy, there's a lot to talk about. Let's just get to it. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, let's start O-line, because I guess the first thing in practice, before practice, you know, we were told that there were quote-unquote maintenance days, or as I like to put them, old guy days, for Jason Kelce, DeSean Jackson, and Malik Jackson. So yesterday we learned that a bunch of guys were injured that we didn't know about, one of them being Jason Peters, who's day-to-day. He actually suited up today, but you know, didn't really participate much. So he and Kelce were both out of the lineup, meaning that from left to right, and I already closed my notes for the day, but from left to right, the offensive line was Dillard at left tackle, who's hurt, by the way, and is playing through some pain in training camp, which kudos to him for that. Matt Pryor at left guard, which is noteworthy because he's only played right guard and right tackle in the past. Isaac at center, filling in for Kelce. Nate Herbig at right guard. And then, of course, Lane at right tackle. And do you have any other takeaways other than that?
Well, you know, I did mention yesterday that Herbig was like that sixth offensive lineman. So it seems like he's in good standing with the coaching staff. Like, they kept him on the, you know, the roster all last year, didn't really play. They seem to like him. I think that's a good sign for his chances of making the team. Just want to say in the Peters front, though, like, man, like the season starts in not too long here, and he's not exactly like getting reps as he is making this transition from tackle to guard. Like, kind of feels significant.
I always like reporter questions, by the way, where the word balance is in there. So it'll be like, Jason, how do you balance your need for, you know, getting ready for the season at a position you've never really played before versus the fact that you're 38 years old and you need days off here and there. So, yeah, I mean, but that's, I guess that's kind of the balance that the Eagles have to try to find there. And he's sort of been inactive the last few days, which, you know, I think it's all right, I guess. But if it continues on longer, you know, that's certainly concerning. We haven't seen him at all yet, obviously, at right guard. So we'll get an idea of how he looks there in time.
But really?
I imagine that JP feels like he can probably do anything.
And that's what Jeff Stoutland had said, too. Basically, the players look at Jason Peters like he can do anything. So I guess the team is also taking that approach, which is interesting. But, Jimmy, I want to talk about the quarterbacks because, obviously, that was a big takeaway for me. That's what I led my notes on BleedingGreenNation.com with. Didn't really think this was the best day for Carson Wentz, so the Eagles should probably cut him, obviously.
Cut him, for sure.
Yeah, got to cut him. But seriously, though, just had some like inaccurate passes. I think it was like all bad. He had a good throw to Zach Ertz over the middle at one point. He threw a touchdown pass to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who is back at practice. Didn't really do much in team drills, but unless I'm wrong, I thought I saw him during red zone drills. Now, obviously,
I didn't see him at all. I missed that. That must have been during one-on-ones then.
No, it was like his team, red zone, and he came off after that. And I was pretty sure it was him because like he had that sleeve on his leg, and I was
On his leg. Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
So I'm pretty sure it was him, but yeah, it was weird. Anyway, also had a nice throw on the final play of practice to John Hightower, just, you know,
beauty.
Dropped it right.
Touch pass.
In the bread basket, as they say, for touchdown. So,
yep.
You know, not all bad, but who I was impressed with and have been impressed with through these 2 days, Jimmy, and a clear stock up, I have to say, you know, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I agree.
I think
he was good today. Yeah, he did a little more running than passing today, which you don't really want to see that in training camp, I guess. Like, you know, you kind of want to see them throw the ball a little bit more. But he is impressive as a runner. So, like, when I did my rookie comparison series earlier this offseason, I compared him to Dak Prescott. And he as a runner reminds me a little bit of Dak in that he can run by you or he can run through you. Except the difference is Hurts is significantly faster than Prescott. So I think he's, you know, if and when he gets a chance to play this season or down the line or whatever, you're going to see him, you know, sort of be more explosive than a guy like Prescott. We'll see in time, you know, how he actually throws the ball. But he, you know, in that red zone series near the end of practice, he ran a few times. He actually juked the living crap out of, was it Marcus Epps?
It was Marcus Epps.
And then later they ran a little play action to the left. And he kind of ran a little waggle or boot or whatever to the right side, and he found Perkins in the back of the end zone. So, yeah, I think he had an encouraging day. He did get picked at one point.
Mm-hmm.
He threw a laser over the middle. I thought it was actually a pretty good ball that would have been on target, except Hightower fell down on the play. It was picked by another rookie, Kayvon Wallace.
I'm going back to the Football Outsiders almanac well here, Jimmy, but yes. Jalen Hurts led all players in college football, not just quarterbacks, all players in college football with 17 red zone touchdowns last year.
Okay.
And I would think, like, you don't want to take the ball out of Carson Wentz's hands in the red zone because he's a very good red zone quarterback and obviously just a good quarterback in general. But I wonder, like, if the Eagles will kind of look to get him involved, if they are going to get him involved in the offense somehow. Maybe if not there, short yarded situations, because his mobility definitely just stands out and it's definitely a weapon, and it just makes it tougher for defenses to have to deal with him when he's just like rolling out like that. Because like you said, it's kind of just the combination of things. It's not just like you have mobile guys who, yeah, might not be as physical. And obviously we don't get to see that full physicality on display in practice, but he is just really fast. Yeah, you just notice that. Like when he takes off, like he's gone. So yeah, really impressed with Jalen Hurts so far. To kind of contrast it here with Nate Sudfeld, like, I don't think Nate Sudfeld has been bad through 2 days of training camp, but like, he doesn't really stand out to me in a good way at all. Like, I know he's there. I don't actually forget he's there, but just don't really like notice a ton great or bad from him. Whereas like Jalen Hurts, I've just seen, you know, more positive flashes.
Nate had a really nice throw over the middle in 7-on-7s, but I understand your point, and I agree. It's just like when you watch a guy like Hurts and you watch a guy like Sudfeld, you clearly see that Hurts is a more talented player. You know, like, and I don't think it's really all that close. I would not take Carson Wentz off the field under any circumstances in the red zone. I mean, that's a guy, like, he threw, over the last 3 years, he's thrown 60 touchdown passes versus one interception, mm-hmm. which is crazy. So I wouldn't be taking him off the field in that situation. Like, this is one of the best things he does is playing the red zone, Wentz. But, and I probably wouldn't take him off the field really under any circumstances. But what they do have at a minimum is a guy, I believe, that is going to, you know, be a good back. Well, I guess I can't say at a minimum he's going to be a good backup. We'll see. But if he is a good backup, what you are going to have in Hurts is a guy that has definitive athletic ability. Can do some things a lot of other quarterbacks can't do, and is going to give the Eagles sort of a different look to opposing defenses if he has to fill in for Wentz for a game or two or longer.
Jimmy, you noticed a different, I don't know why I can't talk, you noticed a different Jalen in practice today. Why don't you talk a little bit more about Jalen Reagor, who I saw had a good catch in one-on-one, but you noticed him in kind of different ways where he didn't even actually make catches.
Yeah, so he didn't make a lot of catches today, which is fine. My understanding is his reps were down today as opposed to yesterday. We got a text from Eagles just sort of on background, I guess, noting that he actually got a decent number of special teams reps, but not as many on team. And that sounds right, because I did see like a lot of Deontay Burnett, Robert Davis, and those kinds of guys in there more today than I did in the other day. So I didn't get that many reps, but there were two plays that really stood out to me with Rager today. One was in one-on-ones where he was being covered, albeit by a undrafted rookie free agent, Michael Jacquet, Brandon Lee Galton favorite, Michael Jacquet, that is. Mm. And he toasted him. Like, he had a couple steps on him, and it was a ball that was a little bit slightly overthrown by Hurts. And you just saw Rager's, like, sort of last explosiveness, like the last explosive step in trying to lunge for the ball as it was coming down. And it was really impressive. Like, he like, pulled away from Jacquet sort of definitively. And he got two hands on the ball, like, two, you know, not, I wouldn't say, like, it was close to maybe calling it a drop. I wouldn't have called it a drop, but he did get, you know, fingers from both hands on the ball, but wasn't able to bring it in. But you just saw his explosiveness, like, clearly on that play. And then later, there was a play where it was an overthrow over the middle. And this was a throw that, like, 90% of receivers would just look at and, like, not even try to go up for it. It was, like, significantly overthrown. And Rager went up, like, he jumped for it. And the hops that that kid has are ridiculous. Like, he got way up for that ball, didn't get it. And it caused me to, like, I remember from his spider chart that his vertical jump was, like, way up in the 90s. And as it turns out, it was, like, you know, his 97th percentile. But he had a 42-inch vertical jump at the combine. And we saw that on the field today. Like, that kid can jump. He is a very explosive lower half, very fast. He can jump. And I think he's, you know, even if he doesn't have a ton of catches this year or over his career, he's going to be a guy that opposing defenses are absolutely going to have to respect down the field, which, like, we've mentioned this over and over again with Deshaun. You have to respect him, and if you do, it's going to open up so many things underneath for guys like Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert and Miles Sanders.
Leaping ability should help out, you know, because he does look a little tiny in terms of height. You know, he's only 5'11", yeah. And he looks it, too. It looks like he looks shorter considerably when you see him standing next to the other receivers, too. But obviously, yeah, we've talked about, like, that leaping ability can help, especially if he's going to take on, like, that X role, not really the traditional body type for an X receiver, but he has that strength and he has the athleticism to kind of compensate for that a little bit. So that's encouraging. You know, definitely haven't seen, like, too much bad from Jalen Rager other than the drop punts on day one, which, you know, that could come with time, and we'll even see if he's handling punt. Return
duty. I think he will, by the way. I think he is going to be the punt returner.
I think he should. You look at his numbers from college, like, you better give him a look there. Like,
yeah.
Who else are you putting out there? Although, I will mention that it could be Quez Watkins. I don't think it will be. But I'm bringing up Quez Watkins to me because he has also shined, I feel like.
Yeah.
We're talking about rookie receivers, specifically.
And so is Hightower. All three of them.
I think Hightower, too.
All three of them have had their moments.
I agree. I would say that Carson Wentz seems to have some kind of level of trust in Watkins. Like, he's thrown to him a number of times. And I don't think that's relevant. I believe they worked out in Houston this offseason. So maybe that kind of helped
bit. They absolutely did. Yeah, I think you actually even put this out. Like, on his Instagram account, right?
Yeah.
On Quez Watkins' Instagram.
I remember Rager did with Wentz. I couldn't remember specifically with Watkins, but now I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I think he did. I think Watkins worked out with both Rager and Hurts, which had me confused. He, like, separately, because it was, like, separate. They were in separate areas. But yeah, so I think that's kind of paid off a little bit. It seems like Carson has some kind of level of trust in him. Carson missed a deep pass a little too far out in front for Watkins. Just to see him targeting Watkins seems like a good sign to me. I wanted to move on to the offensive line, Jimmy. Did you have anything else on the receivers?
Yeah, I mean, like, just when you look at those three guys, I think Rager's going to be good. I'm convinced fairly early that I think he's going to contribute this year and is going to be a good receiver in the NFL. I mean, I don't know if that's an overreaction this early or not, but just you look at his raw athleticism, it's hard to figure how he's not going to be, you know, he's not going to contribute in some way. If he pans out, and either one of Watkins or Hightower pans out, then you have to feel pretty good about the wide receiver position long term on this in this offense. So it's kind of a big deal if one of those later round picks, Hightower in the fifth or Watkins in the sixth, becomes, you know, some kind of productive player in the NFL.
And it's early, but I kind of let off my notes yesterday talking about how like Miles Sanders kind of disimpressed from the jump in training camp last year, and Rager just kind of reminded me of that so far. And again, it's early, we'll see, but encouraging so far. Offensive line, I got a chance to watch the one-on-ones up close for a little bit earlier in practice where most of the reporters...
Oh, good. Because I got the other one. I got the later one-on-one. So
you got the later ones.
Yeah, let's hear what you thought on one-on-one session one.
This wasn't even planned. You know, this is just natural talent here between me and Jimmy, just, you know, working off each other. Without even needing to plan it. But Andre Dillard thought significantly. Wanted to mention him because he earned praise for stuffing Josh Sweat at one point, and like the coaching staff and teammates were really gassing up Andre Dillard, which seems to be like a big emphasis not only on the field but also like in the media. Like everyone who's talking about Andre Dillard has like gone out of their way or made sure to like really talk about him effusively. Nate Herbig might be like stock up in terms of how the coaches trust him, but not so good on the one-on-ones. Obviously got handled by Fletcher Cox, which, you know, of course that's going to happen. But he also got beat by Anthony Rush too on a bull rush. So, I mean, that's in his name, Anthony Rush.
You're not going to see anything else out of him. It's going to be straight bull rushes from a 350-pound dude.
Yeah. So
he's not going to try to be beating you around the edge of speed.
I thought Jariga looked good. Like there was a rep where he got driven back by Hassan Ridgeway, but he didn't let him get by him. He kept him within his frame. Ridgeway, by the way, was looking good in those drills. Like he was beating multiple guys. He was earning praise from coaches and teammates alike as well. I think that's encouraging because I thought he kind of showed promise last year early in the season. And then Matt Pryor, I will note, had a really good strike on Joe Osman. And another play that kind of just really earned praise from the coaching staff. So some good things there from not only your starter and Andre Dillard, but some of the key backup. Well, bad stuff from Herbig, but good stuff from Matt Pryor. So and then Jariga again, just kind of that long term potential the team might like. What about you? What did you see?
Actually, the notes that I have are on guys that you didn't mention at all, which is good.
Hmm.
Well, I will note first of all that Pryor in the past has always looked like an all pro in these one-on-ones.
Yes, that's right.
And then in the preseason, it's kind of been a little bit of a different story. But the three guys that I noted, at least on the offensive line, first guy was Jack Driscoll, who had a nice rep against the aforementioned Anthony Rush. Again, like he's not going to be trying to beat you with speed around the edge. So there's no mystery about what he's going to do. He's going to try to bull rush you. But Driscoll anchored nicely against him, which is a good sign because Driscoll kind of had the same concerns coming out of college that Dillard did, in that there's no worries at all about his athleticism. Like you look at his spider chart and it's very impressive. But in terms of functional strength, the feeling was that he needs to get some work done in the weight room. So good to see him anchor against Rush. Prince Tegwinogo had a bunch of nice reps. Stonewalled Jannard Avery a few times. And who'd you say? Dillard. Like Dillard against Sweat, Winogo did a good job sort of steering Sweat around the circle, you know, kind of around the bend where he wouldn't be a threat to Connor Barwin, who you also mentioned, I saw in your notes, was serving as the fake quarterback in that drill. The guy who really looked bad was Jordan Mailata. He got obliterated by Casey Tuhill on an inside spin. And if you'll recall last year, you probably had this in your notes last year, Mailata really struggled with that inside spin move, specifically against Joe Osman.
Yes.
Like Joe Osman going against Mailata last year really kind of helped his stock, I think. And we're finding out maybe that might have been a little bit artificially helping his stock.
How dare you?
He was killing Mailata last year. And Tuhill obliterated him on an inside spin. On the next rep between those two guys, Tuhill went outside on him, got under him, and was able to push him back into Barwin. So there's two reps in a row that Tuhill really got the best of Mailata. Did not look good for Mailata on those one-on-one drills.
Yeah, I wrote in my notes that Brandon Graham cooked Jordan Mailata.
Did he? Okay, yeah.
And then BG also mentioned, or BLG, I should say, Brandon Lee Graham, I believe in his conference call mentioned that he's been impressed with, quote, Jake, which he was referring to Jack Driscoll.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign for
Jack. That's classic Jack BG right there.
Yeah.
That is. I will say with Mailata, I'm guessing if he was going against Brandon Graham, he was playing on the right side.
Sure.
Because he was when I watched him, he was playing on the right side too, which to note is his uncomfortable side, as he mentioned last year. So he came into the league, he learned how to play left tackle. They tried to cross train him at left tackle and right tackle last year. Didn't go well at right tackle. So, like, it is worth noting that he was on his right. He was on the right side when I watched him, and I assume he was on the right side if he was going up against BJ when you watched him.
All right, Jimmy, we'll take a break here.
Back after this.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Back here on BGN Radio, episode 134, Training Camp Report Edition, day two of Eagles Training Camp 2020. We are switching to the defense, who really had the better of the offense today, Jimmy. In a lot of ways, I thought the defense showed up. And after kind of a quiet day one as well, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think the offense, quote unquote, to quote Chip, won the day yesterday, and they turned it around today. Big guy for me, right off the bat, was Jalen Mills, who had sort of. Would you call that the play of the day? His pick six.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah,
he went through a little short dump down over the middle. And Mills seemed to be able to read Wentz's eyes and jumped in front of that and picked it off and took it the distance. So good. I'm sure Jim Schwartz loved to see that out of Mills, A, because he loves Mills, and B, because Mills has taken over a very important position in the defense that was vacated by Malcolm Jenkins this offseason. So good to see from the Eagles' perspective that Mills made a play like that today.
Nickell Robey-Coleman also dropped an interception from Carson Wentz, almost came up with it. So he almost made a big play. The linebackers were active. TJ Edwards blew up a screen. I just did a really good job of like deep diagnosing it and just got there. And, you know, if it was a game, he would have lit the running back up like full force. Also, there was a play. Did you see this, Jimmy, where Deontay Barnett just got like,
yes,
he's got destroyed.
Sean Bradley,
who a second day in a row is kind of standing out, making some plays. The Temple guy, not a Tommy Lawler favorite. I don't know if you saw Tommy Lawler's post.
I did see that. I knew that from before the draft.
Not even to rip Tommy.
Right. So Sean Bradley, by the way, is my official first guy to get in a fight prediction.
Oh, of course.
He is going to piss off a veteran at some point.
Well, yeah, you're telling me the guy who, like, actively goes out and, like, does intel on his opponent's girlfriend so he can, like, talk trash to them, might get in a fight? Yeah, I'd buy that one. I also want to note that Duke Riley was back at practice today. You know, we had mentioned he was out due to illness on Monday, but yes, he was the third linebacker, too, in base defense with, you know, Nate Gary and Edwards as the top two guys. So that's significant. That's worth noting.
Yeah.
Want to point out a guy who didn't do so well on defense, and to me, that was Sidney Jones. Who,
yes,
he had some rough moments. He got beat badly by Robert Davis in 1-on-1. Did you also see this play where, like, maybe you didn't because you're watching 1-on-1. I don't know if this is 7-on-7 or 11-on-11, but he went up for this leaping pass breakup on a Sudfeld throw, and like he just entirely missed on it. And like Josh Perkins was just wide open behind him for like this big catch and run. So, you know, not the best from him today. And it should be noted that, you know, Avante Maddox is still like taking 100% of the reps as cornerback too. So this idea that
it's not a competition.
It's not a competition. Like, we've been saying this all offseason. Some people have kind of pushed back on that. Some people have been like, oh, this is Sidney Jones' breakout season. I mean, he's not going to play unless, you know, there's an injury to Maddox or Slay. And then Douglas, you know, Rizzle Douglas really isn't pushing for playing time either. Like, he had a deflection at one point that was good on a Hurts throw. Then he also got beat deep by Watkins on that deep play I talked about earlier where Carson Wentz just overthrew Watkins a little bit. So,
He got beat deep by Hightower on day one as well. And then also, yes, like, we saw him get beat by somebody else deep on, like, there were videos that leaked from the...
That was Watkins,
days of,
yeah.
From the days of... Oh, is that what you were just talking about just now?
No, but that...
Oh, okay. I mean, so a different time that he got beat by Watkins deep. These videos leaked out in the pre-media attended practices. So, yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be a huge shock that Rizzo is getting beat deep, as plenty of people did a season ago. But yeah, that's kind of carried over into this training camp.
Anything else on the defense, Jimmy?
Yeah, you covered Bradley. I wanted to touch on him. You know, speed guy. Tommy's issue with him is that he doesn't take on. He's sort of apt to avoid blocks as opposed to stacking and shedding. But as far as the speed goes, he is flying around out there. So that's good to see. I agree that Sidney Jones didn't have a great day. He did have a diving interception.
Okay.
I think it was during one-on-ones. But that was against he was covering Adrian Killens, who the Eagles have like working out at wide receiver instead of running back. I don't think he looks kind of out of place, I think, so far as a wide receiver. I guess that'd be it for me. I would agree that Ridgeway, by the way, going back to just one-on-ones for a second, he went up against Herbig twice, owned him the first time, and then Herbig did a better job against him on his second rep. So I agree that he sort of stood out a little bit there when I was watching those sessions. But other than that, really, the big takeaway today was the play that Mills made. It's really important for him, you know, to sort of be able to play that. He's not going to be as good as Malcolm Jenkins. Like, I think we can probably confidently say that before the season begins. But if he can play that position competently, then, you know, it's that they, you know, maybe the defense won't suffer as much as we thought it might when the Eagles decided to let, you know, Malcolm Jenkins go.
I don't replay on this, so maybe I am wrong, but I kind of remember Carson Wentz like picking on Mills a little bit. I felt like a couple of they weren't like big plays, but some of the shorter receptions or shorter completions Carson Wentz had today, I felt like Mills was often in that area. So it almost seemed like he might have been like picking on him in short coverage. I don't know if that's a thing or not. Kind of just, you know, I didn't even write it down. It was just kind of in the back of my head now that I'm thinking about it. But I think it could have been worse. It could be worse for Mills. And just a couple other quick defensive notes, I guess, that I had here. You know, Nate Gary had a pick six, basically. Now, you know, ball went through Corey Clement's hands.
Yeah, it bounced right off of Clement, yeah.
But there is something to Gary, I think, about, like, he's kind of aware. And I wanted to exemplify that by he didn't fall for a surprise onside kick that the Eagles were doing when they were doing kickoff drills. I don't know if you saw that. But yeah,
I did see the onside kick, but I didn't get a good view of what actually happened on it. I did say they tried one.
Yeah, and it was just good in awareness. Like, he didn't turn his back, you know, too early. Kind of, you know, like, you know, to take it for granted that the kicker totally kicked it deep. And he was just right there and he recovered it. So, you know, we see the coaching staff talk, or we hear them talk about how, like, they trust Gary. And I think that kind of moments like that kind of speak probably, or that kind of, like, validates their trust in him. You know, they just feel like they can trust him. I want to talk about some guys who didn't practice Zumi because we have a report out there. Derek Barnett and Javon Hargrave, we kind of have more clarity on their injuries, I guess, since we last recorded yesterday. Derek Barnett dealing with an ankle injury, which, by the way, he was dealing with one late last season that caused him to miss two games. Unclear if it's the same ankle or the same issue or what, but just wanted to note that. And then Javon Hargrave dealing with a pectoral strain, according to ESPN's Tim McManus. NFL Network is saying they both have a realistic shot at being ready for the opener, but to me, Jimmy, like, it's almost not.
That's not good. That's not good verbiage there. It's not you don't want to hear have a good shot of playing, of making the first season, you know, the first game of the season. Because it means if they do, they're probably not going to be 100%.
Yes, that's exactly my point here. It's not like this to me is still an issue. I mean, because like even if they're missing time in camp, like we saw this with Barnett last year. We kind of talked about this yesterday, but like, you know, it was supposed to be a big deal this offseason that he's like entering the year with a clean bill of health.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to be a breakout player. And Jim Schwartz said he still thinks Derek Barnett's going to have an outstanding year, in quotes, very high on him. But, you know, it's pretty not great to me that Barnett is coming into the season hurt. Is it going to be another season where he's like playing through pain? He's not fully effective. Like, that would be annoying to see. And then with Hargrave, he posted on Instagram that he is, quote, good and ready for the season. So encouraging, I guess, if you can take that for face value. But, like, he's still missing, like, the only practice time he was going to get with his new team.
Yeah.
And, like, defensive linemen might not be as important of a position for that in terms of communication and what as you know, linebacker and safety, as Jim Schwartz kind of talked about. Still, like, he's adjusting to a new scheme and, like, new teammates. And, like, he's not going to have that time. Like, he's just going to go out there week one at best, probably, and like just be playing. Like, that kind of seems like you can't even, you know, play him fully, or is he even going to be 100% effective? I don't know.
I, for one, Brandon, am shocked that the Eagles are facing injury adversity.
And you can definitely trust these timetables too, by the way. You know, if that's
right,
if that's anything we know about these Eagles injuries, like, they're definitely going to be back when the reports say they are.
Hargrave, by the way, has a solid history of durability. Let me just look him up.
He's only missed one game. It was in his rookie season.
Is that it? Yeah, okay. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, he has been healthy for the duration of his career.
But so was Malik Jackson before he had that season injury last year.
Yeah, very true. Yep.
So sometimes this is bad luck.
All right. Well, you got any final thoughts?
Nothing too great. I'm just doing a last check through my notes here. Jalen Reagor, Quez Watkins, Corey Clement, and Adrian Killens were the guys back taking kick returns. Mr. Darren Sproles is out there kind of giving some pointers to the young guys. Yep. It's day two of training camp. I guess, you know, it's kind of crazy because it's day two, but they're also only less than a month away. Yeah, I guess nothing too great here, Jimmy. Just obviously telling everyone to keep following along with our work at BleedingGreenNation.com and PhillyVoice.com and following us on Twitter at Brandon Gowton and at Jimmy Kemsky. Did you have any final thoughts, Jimmy?
I didn't realize the Flyers were playing right this second.
Yeah, they're playing. obviously,
yeah.
It's game four. This will be worthless as I say this, but it's tied 0-0 right now.
That's right.
Let's go, Flyers.
Also, Brandon, did you know that Kristen Roach of Roach Realty made me mac and cheese when I got home from practice today?
How was it?
It was excellent. It was Annie's. It's like a different version. It's like there's Kraft and then there's...
Yeah, I've had Annie's.
Annie's is good. It was shells. They were really good. Okay. So if you're buying or selling a house, call her at 856-906-9295.
And Annie's not a sponsor. Just a, you know, free plug there.
No, it was excellent, though.
I believe it.
Yeah.
And you know what also is excellent, too?
What's that?
That's Righteous Felon Craft Jerky, which is what BGN Radio is brought to you by, proudly. And obviously, don't forget to use discount code BGN15 at checkout to get 15% off when you order $50 or more. Jimmy, we'll be back at practice on Wednesday, August 19th to watch, observe, and then we'll come back to you with another podcast here. Sound good?
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, and make sure you check out the new show on BGN Radio dropping daily, which is called Quick Jam, that Michael Kist is doing. It's kind of like an audio version of The Link. You know The Link, Jimmy, that Link post every morning on BGN. So it's kind of like that. It's for people, you know, sometimes like you don't have the time to get a full episode in. Well, like, go listen to Michael Kist Quick Jam. It's only like 9-10 minutes, so kind of just...
That's a good idea.
Yeah, there you go. So go check that out. Subscribe to BGN Radio. Rate, download, review, all that good stuff, and we will see you next time.
Let me try this again. Goodbye, everybody.
BGN.